on bed very soon. Alright? Now I'm making my way down the platform, and this PSO clocks me coming down the platform. Now, for anyone who's not aware, a PSO, they're called Protective Service Officers, and basically they are guys who failed the police exam. And then they said, hey, do you want to be a ticket inspector? You can cosplay as a cop, and we'll give you a gun! I see you've had problems with them before. Alright, no, but, so, you know, no problems for abuse there, no problems for power or anything. And a PSO clocks me coming down the platform, says, you're drunk, to which I answer, no shit. Right? So you can see I started it. I'm aware. Now he goes, you're drunk, you shouldn't have been on the train. Yeah, why were you on the train? You should have taken a taxi home. At which point, we enter in a philosophical debate about the nature of public transport, what its service is, and the fact that if I'm not supposed to be on the train while drunk, why does his job exist? He does not like that answer. I don't think he was expecting so much philosophical pushback at 12 o'clock on a Tuesday. Which is fair. And as I said to you all, I don't really expect you to actually know the answers because some of them are slightly obscure news things and some of them are more well-known stuff. But to reasonably expect you to actually know the stuff, I think, is unfair given I haven't given you any material to prep with. So
I actually know all of it. So. Oh, well.
Then you should.
Sorry, guys.
If you do not win, I'll be super disappointed in you.
Yeah, you should be, because I know all the news. I read it when you said I was going to be on this quiz. I read all the news, yeah. And so I'm.
I think you're the most prepared guest we've ever had.
I'm a professional.
Well, that's true. It's undoubtable your level of commitment to this. all right, so let's get into it. For the audience, welcome to the Weird News Quiz. I remain, and presumably will be forever, your host and undecided knife's edge election results, Matt Harvey. Before we meet our guests, for any new audience members, we've just lost John Gracie. And, I'm sure he'll be back by the time I finish introductions. Joining me on these fierce competitions of japes and confusion are a couple of, many first-time guests. So first up is comedian and swing state, somehow still surviving at a near 50-50 result despite 4 years of chaos, Beck Hill.
Thank you. Don't believe it. I stopped the count or whatever. Stop. Whatever's relevant by the time you watch this.
Both stop and continue. Depends on which state you're in. That's how that's going. You've got podcast host and unsurprising decision to decriminalize most of the drugs after the year that we've had, Chris.
Hey.
And game show host and relentless unwillingness to concede a very obviously lost race, John Gracie.
I'm back. Hey, guys.
Finished crossing the room, and he's back. All right. But let's get into it. I did find there wasn't a lot of news that I had prepared from over on your end, but I did find this one piece, which I found quite interesting. So obviously, you know, the UK is going back into lockdown. I'm sure you've all got your own feelings on the matter. And let's dive into that. Let's dive deep into obviously the UK is preparing to go back to the lockdown. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, the effectiveness of the decision. You know, will it be over by Christmas? Which I think is the most ambitious piece of political rhetoric ever put out. I'm like, we'll be done by Christmas, right? By Christmas.
It's harkening back to this wartime thing. You know, the war's going to be done by Christmas. It's a thing that British people think. And believe, but if you mention Christmas,
never once successfully finished anything by Christmas. Like we always say,
not even Christmas presents. I've never.
What I'm really hoping is that on Christmas Day, COVID and humans just take a day out to have a game of football.
Yeah.
Just like really see eye to eye. Like we're all creatures. We're all fine. And then Boxing Day, bam, straight back into
it. And it's back on harder than ever.
There's a few viruses in the back just like, this isn't over. Okay, we're coming for you.
But
and then the following year, Tesco will do like a really cute ad about the two different supermarkets
We've got this Maya ad running at the moment, and it's the most absurd ad I've ever seen, because it's the idea is we've missed a lot, so let's.
Just to translate, Maya is kind of like the John Lewis in Australia. Right.
Yeah, yeah. So they're like, we've missed a lot this year, so let's cram it all into one day and make it bigger than Christmas. And I'm like, no, that's a ridiculous idea, Maya. Why would you want to gather that many people in the middle of the day to do that?
We've done a great job not infecting each other. Yeah. Let's really push everyone together.
Yeah, just jam them all in and get it going. Kick this thing off one more time.
Ali McGregor has designed a card to raise money for charity, and it says, if you hold a funeral for a turkey on Christmas Day, you're allowed to have 30 people over.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Ali McGregor, find her, follow her, buy her card.
I love it. That's so good.
I think it's been disappointing how little my life's changed. You know, they're like, oh, you can't be in groups of more than six. And I was like, okay. My two friends will be fine.
So you just form a house together. Fine, just all move in together.
Yeah.
So there's a new paper by a research group called SAGE, who are the Scientific Advisory Group for Emergencies, which suggests that young people told to isolate due to coronavirus should be offered what?
Right.
Free Netflix.
Now
What was that, Chris? Sorry?
I said Game Boys, and then I thought that's about 90s reference, so it's a bit late.
I would love a Game Boy. That'd be great.
It's not amazing, Chris. Oh, sorry. That is a game from the 90s in Australia where the best thing you could win was a Game Boy. And you'd sit there watching the TV going, the keys are behind the gorillas!
I want no more context for this game. That's all I need to know, that there are gorillas and keys. That's great.
Yeah, that's basically the whole game.
It was the Game Boy that has the transparent cover, and it was... And then for a while, they made it that you could win a sewing machine.
Obviously, when the sponsorship changed. At one point, you played Super Mario as well you challenged each other.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? Like Mario Kart or something.
Yeah, Mario Kart. Yeah. They do a Mario Kart. It was a strange little game. But you
talked to Matt. My internet cut out when you did all of the rules for this. Are we trying to say what we think the answer is, or are we doing humorous versions of the answers?
I will award points for correctness and for amusing me as much as possible.
You're like a kind of disgruntled monarch. You're just like, bring me amusements. Yeah, I'll shower you with points.
My world's been so small.
This isn't even going to go out. This is just.
Yeah, it's actually just so I can 4 talk.
4 a.m. Australia time. Let's do some socializing.
I do all my best.
And make my friends compete.
But you guys are actually surprisingly close with your guesses. So this is the quote from the paper. It says that young people should be offered good financial and other support, such as free mobile phone data, streaming, and gaming.
Ah, oh, Chris, we basically got that. John was not close at all, but Chris and I, we got
that. I wasn't close because I didn't say any answers.
Yeah, it does make it hard to be close.
I panicked and didn't know what I was supposed to say. Between Netflix and Game Boys, that's pretty much it.
So they've warned, the paper warns that compliance with COVID-19 restrictions is substantially lower and declining among people aged 18 to 29 compared to any other age group. And though they have strong motivation to adhere, according to the paper, what is causing this lack of compliance?
I reckon the paper's going to be like, cockiness. A youthful belief in their immortality.
I'd love it if you filled in the blank with just cockiness. Like they just said cockiness.
Yeah, a single word, just cockiness.
Yeah. Lots of young adults quote saying, and I quote, "I will never die."
This is a peer-reviewed piece. You want to take a stab?
I think it's from too much making out. Ooh. I think they're of the age range that are constantly making out all over the place.
Yeah.
Can't help themselves. They'll isolate, but their lips will wander.
That's horrifying. That's a new virus.
You remember the Chewy's ad to Benny Benassi with the tongue that escapes and then it like goes to a party?
Yeah.
That's children these days. That's millennials.
That was a strange and like weirdly graphic ad for a beer.
It's another horrifying glimpse with just like a tiny bit of information about an advert.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't need to know anything else. There's just a tongue that goes on a journey. Sounds horrifying.
Just seeks out a beer.
Oh, that was supposed to sell you something rather than put you off something.
Yeah. You were supposed to be like, I want to be like that tongue and just drag across the floor until I get to this beer. And
I drink Tui's, my tongue is going to run away from me because it'll be so pissed.
Well, to explain it for the Brits, basically this man is so much of an alcoholic that when he goes to sleep, his tongue still seeks the comforting warmth of an ale or IPA or beer.
Sleep isn't enough of an oblivion.
So his tongue detaches and goes on search.
I love that.
That sounds like a fucking nightmare.
I love that you've taken on the role of like ambassador to gain culture.
My aim is to like gain their trust, and then by the end of this, I'll be like, "Yeah, sheep walk on stilts in Australia because of all the floods,"
and they'll be like, "Oh." And I will say yes to everything along the way, so they will not know where the line stops. I was like, "Yeah, I remember that ad.
I remember those stilty sheep."
This ad you're describing has the energy of like a 90s like tango ad. You know when their ads were just off the chain and it would just be like the orange guy that just ran up and slapped people. Just this really like
vibe. That one got banned, didn't it? Because loads of kids started to run into people and school just slapping them. You've been tangoed.
It was so weird. I remember it being genuinely scary as a kid. It has that same nightmare energy.
Push pops for the same reason. Just everyone going around
pushing each other.
Don't push me. Push it. They should have had that with tango. Don't slap me. Slap a tango. That should have been the motto. Aussies, tango
at least
is like
push
British
pops were trying to prevent pushing.
I appreciate the term. Matrix that you've taken on.
Do you not have tango in Australia?
No.
All right.
I feel like you're pushing for a cultural ambassador position, Beck. Like you're going to try and get some government funding.
Take it,
to translate between them two.
Not to go off on too much of a
sour lemonade.
So they said that the 18 to 29 year olds, the reason that they wouldn't that they're more likely to not follow the rules is because they're undermined by a severe lack of trust in government and a lack of clear information. So,
absolutely fair.
Why they would have a lack of trust in your government.
Is it just 18 to 29 year olds? Is that everybody?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think you could just apply that.
But it's pretty fascinating. I mean, the paper doesn't go on to explain how they would give out the free gaming. It's just sort of like, this is a good idea. If you want to try it, I think it was written by an 18-year-old who was just like, "We should get free gaming."
I just think they really want some
some Pornhub accounts. Maybe just some free Pornhub accounts. That's what apparently they want. I don't know. Obviously, I'm just a researcher.
Here's the thing. So, in Australia, there was a cruise ship called the Ruby Princess, which docked in Sydney very early in the pandemic, and this was like
this is the one where all the infections came from, right?
Yeah, a lot of them, yeah. And this is where our first major point of exposure was, except for like flights coming in. And so they had all these people quarantining on the Ruby Princess. And in order to help them get through their quarantine, there was a bunch of cam girls who offered up their services for free to the people in the Ruby Princess. And it was one of these really weird moments of like major news sources, like, you know, 7 News and 9 News being like, cam girls are offering their service with no, no, you know, judgment or anything. Normally, you know, Channel 7 would be like, cam girls are ruining the neighborhood. But here they are.
Yeah.
Like, being like, oh, they've come to save them with a jerk.
I don't know. I feel like the judgment there is on all the cam boys not joining in.
Well, that's right.
That yeah. Right. Come on, cam boys. Show
there's
up.
There's like, there's people into dudes on that shit yeah, as well. Absolutely. Come on.
That's yeah. probably how the...
Your cam sisters have turned up. Where are the cam brothers?
So what you're saying is that the government should start an OnlyFans account and that'll solve everything.
100%. Yeah, just a, yeah. an open access, publicly funded open OnlyFans. And yeah. So like the OnlyFans equivalent of an NHS and just see how it goes. It'll start off really
strong. What is an honest politician, if not a naked one?
That's right. That's right. The most honest I'll ever be. All right, I got some robot news. The next couple of stories are about robots in various capacities. So Pope Francis...
This is like... Sorry, can I just say that if we went back in time and said to me, just so you know, you're going to be doing a quiz show in 2020 during a pandemic lockdown. It'll be international on a video phone. It's like a little computer. And we're going to be discussing robot news.
Yeah, that's like, right.
My brain would...
Welcome to 2020.
And also porn saving the day on a cruise ship full of people with virus.
Well, even to add to that, to add to the surrealness of it, this is a robot story about Pope Francis. So take from that what you will.
Robot.
Your robot Pope. Nice. So Pope Francis, he recently invited Catholics around the world to pray for what regarding robots?
Cam girls.
They don't. I'm going to say that they don't enslave us all to really cap off 2020.
Is it for their terrible, sinful robot souls?
Well, we haven't got to the point of building a working bender yet, so we're not quite. But you're not actually. You're pretty close, Chris. You basically nailed it. He wants Catholics around the world to pray that robotics and AI will serve humankind, as opposed to like oppressing it. I guess. This isn't the first time that the Pope has weighed in on any kind of science fiction. In February this year, a group called the Pontifical Academy for Life. Yep, there's a very real group.
The Puffle.
Sorry?
The Puffle.
Yeah, that's right. The old Puffle. So they dropped some... To be honest, they had this gathering where they talked about a thing called Al Gore ethics. You know, want to take a stab at what Al
Gore...
The ethics of Al Gore.
Environmentally friendly.
Yeah, it's like, does he run on solar power? How does he get around? Has he been outdone by Greta Thunberg?
How are we fueling Al Gore?
Yeah, that's right. What keeps him going? Fueling
him sustainably. Yeah, it's got to be, as Beck said, I think, the, like, sustainable environmental, like, management of the planet.
You're not far off. You're, like, you're pretty close. It's, like, sustainable management of algorithms, like, making sure that algorithms don't get to a point.
Algorithms?
Yeah. Like, because, you know,
oh, you got us. You got us, Matt. Well done. You said Al Gore. You didn't say algorithms.
This is how they spelled it.
Clever bastard.
is it basically like
algorithms?
Asimov.
All right, 5 points to Matt.
Like the laws of Asimov?
And look, it's Isaac not far Lord, off. They're sort of like talking about they want the ethical use of artificial intelligence according to the principles of transparency, inclusion, responsibility, impartiality, reliability, security, and privacy. Which is holding robots to a higher standard of ethics than the church. But, I mean, you know, we've got to start somewhere. Someone act responsible. And they, so what they did was they got, they had this meeting and they got a couple of the heads of a few major AI, major tech companies to come in and to sign this as well. They managed to get two companies. Do you want to take a stab at which two?
They signed in this with the fingers crossed behind the back here. Like, might as well. Definitely not going to use this for anything dodgy.
They think they're like their robot, you know, bodies with their disembodied faces. And being like, yep, this is totally.
Is one of them Meccano?
It's Meccano and Duplo, I think, are the big dogs.
Yeah. You gotta start somewhere, hey.
Lego technique. You build up to Lego technique. You know, you can't.
If they started to animate kids' wild Lego creations, we would all be in trouble. So let's hope they can't ever do that.
That's true. Some of them are pretty crazy. No, they had IBM and they had Microsoft. So not even the worst tech companies. Like, if they're going to get people on board, they couldn't even get, you know, Twitter and Facebook to be like, yeah, we'll be responsible. They'll just. I don't even know the last time IBM did something noteworthy, to be honest.
Yeah, I wouldn't be that excited to have IBM at my conference.
I mean,
on TV, always like, but what are you selling? Because I haven't seen an IBM in a shop for.
I like to think that IBM, like in any time they release a product, they're like, we've made the mouse really small and in the middle of the keyboard. Like, that's on every product that they do. They don't have touchscreen phones or anything. Like, the IBM phone just has a mouse. It's a little nib.
Sort of roll.
Is that the IBM invention? Yeah. That little nipple they put in the keyboard? Is that IBM?
Yeah, I think it was from the IBM ThinkPad, I believe that was.
Oh, those things suck.
My parents met at IBM. They worked at IBM. So that was the last time I heard about IBM was before I was born.
Fair. Is it true, Beck, as someone whose family works there, that it's called IBM because it's three letters down from HAL?
Well, that's why HAL is called HAL, because it's three letters away from IBM.
Wait, is IBM older than 2001?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, I thought IBM was really new. I thought it was like an 80s company.
Well, it's definitely at least 5 years old.
You heard it here first, people.
We've got an unquestionable time. She read all the news, so she knows. It's okay.
IBM stands for I Bounce Money.
I bounce money. Yeah, baby, it's IBM. It's bounce money. Hey, guys, do you know what year IBM was founded?
Go on.
I don't want to take a guess.
Oh.
73.
You turned the format on us.
It'd be 60. Yeah, sorry. And it's like...
I've got some points to give out. Who wants
them? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is it 69? Is it 69?
I think it's like one of them companies that's like older than you think. You know, like Nintendo was like in the 1900s or 1800s or something like that.
Because they were a playing card company, weren't they?
Yeah, I reckon IBM.
Is that true?
Yeah, they used to do trading cards.
I reckon IBM's one of them, 1920. Don't know what
they made. Okay, so we've got 1920, we've got 1969, and then, Matt, what's your guess?
Yeah, I guess I'm in on this.
Actually, they would have been, pre moon stuff, hey? Because that was, when computing...
Because that was sort of the inspiration.
So, yeah. When did that all kicked off? Like late 50s, I think. I'm going to say
some wartime thing.
I'm going to go 55.
55? And what's your guess, Matt?
In the 40s. I'll go 43.
The winner is, by a country mile, Chris, as IBM was founded on 16th of June, 1911.
Wow. 1911.
The hell were they doing back then?
What were they making?
Just doing zoetropes.
I was going to say it stands for I beat Nazis, but Nazis wasn't even that. That was way later.
Well, a little
known. I beat Nazis.
Is that the Nazis were the precursor for the Nazis. They had to work their way up.
Yeah.
That's why they had to change.
And then afterwards, it's the Nazis. Oh, yeah.
They didn't want to be beaten.
And then it's the Nazis.
They used to be called Nazis. Oh dear. Right, so good.
Let's shuffle over to Japan. So there's a place called Takakawa in Hokkaido. Now, apparently, there's a bit of a bear issue there. And what have the municipal government installed to scare off the bears?
Parties.
They're really scary. They're the latest version of the Nazi party.
Yeah.
It's graphic Winnie the Pooh manga with Winnie the Pooh being brutally destroyed by angry Japanese park rangers.
That's the least scary thing you can get in manga.
Just bears, yeah.
Yeah, not if you're a bear. Hentai. Not if you're a bear, it's terrifying. Bears are cool with hentai, but as soon as there's any bears being killed, they absolutely hate it.
Quite progressive on the sexual awakening front. They're like, you know what?
Sexually liberated.
Whatever it takes.
There's also like really harrowing ones of bears trying to open jars of honey and not being able to for just like hundreds of panels. And it makes them really existentially sad.
Yeah, it's like
they just don't want to eat after
that. Waiting for Godot, but for hentai. They try to, but then they can't, and they stop for a scene.
Yeah, and they lose all motivation.
Is it a UK government OnlyFans account?
The least sexy thing in the world.
Doing anything. Yeah.
Yeah, well, the bears see it and they're like, oh, no. No, thank you.
Yeah.
We'll just go over back to our hentai. And
I'll never have sex again.
Well, that's how they're taking care of the problem. They're just turning all bears into pandas. You know, none of the bears want to.
Just lowering the sex drive to grim British politicians.
There's just some guy with loads of scratches on him and a Sharpie whose job it is to colour in around their eyes.
So do you want to take a stab, Chris, before I give you the answer?
Honestly, I think you guys have nailed it. It's definitely sexual. I mean, there's nowhere else to go.
So they've installed what they're calling robot monster wolves.
Oh, yeah, it's robot news.
Yeah,
robot. Should have seen this coming.
Yeah.
Sorry, we got sidetracked a fair bit.
This is like when you've got a dangerous predator, right?
Like the title of a manga or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, robot monster wolves.
So this is when you've got a dangerous predator, so you're like, I'll just put something more dangerous in. That'll take care of it. We won't have to worry about robot monster wolves, though. They'll look after themselves.
Well, that's what the Pope's asking about, isn't it? So the Pope's praying robot monster wolves don't end up turning on the masters.
A lot of people don't know this, but robot monster wolves actually originally started as a trading card game. So it's been around way longer.
They were very, very raunchy robot trading cards, let me tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, you can only get them on the secret underground railroads, and you'd have to really try hard for them. So officially, according to the write-up, they built them to avoid friction between residents and bears. So, like, the sex guesses aren't that far off by the sounds of it. Like, I don't know what the bears are getting up to.
Lubed up wolves.
Just a lot of rubbing.
How does it scare off the bear?
With the lube. Just sliding around. They put the lube into lupine.
So these are what? Electric robot wolves? Is that what they're called?
Robot monster wolf.
Is the monster really necessary? I feel like robot wolves would have been enough.
They tried robot wolves and they weren't scary enough. Robot monster wolves, when the moon is full, they turn into the monsters and then they scare the bears. And the bears are famously afraid of werewolves.
Werebears.
Werebears.
So.
Werewolves.
Mm. That's what's going to happen. They're going to breed and create monster robot werewolves.
Well, not if the bears see the hentai first.
Well, you thought COVID was bad.
2021. Bear wolves.
Robot monster bear wolves.
Yeah, that's right. Heard it here first. An exclusive from my Nostradamus cast.
In Britain, werewolves just means a lot of wolves, so you've got to be really specific.
Yeah, scary, but for different reasons.
Oh, you got werewolves. A lot of wolves.
So they scan the area using infrared sensors. When they detect that either a wild animal or a human is close, the robot shakes its head and lets out a roar to threaten anything in its surrounding and flashes its eyes red. And that's how they're supposed to scare away the bears.
Imagine if you didn't know that there were, like, robot monster wolves in the area and you're just going for a walk in the Japanese forest. And all of a sudden, flashing eyes roaring.
robot
beast appears.
This is the worst idea.
Yeah,
it's what my mum used to do when I was like, I think my room looks better this way. And she'd shake her head, roar, her eyes would go red. Yeah, but tell you what, no bears where I lived, so it worked.
Well, that's the system works. Essentially, what they're saying, they've taken the same line of reasoning because they're like, there was an increase in bear sightings this year. Normally there's only about one a year, but this year it's gone up. And so they put these out there. There's like 60 of them out there. And they're like, the sightings in bears have gone down, so they must be working. You know, like the logic that Lisa uses with the rock. You don't see any tigers, yeah. Do you? It must be.
Whereas the town next door is absolutely overrun with bears.
Yeah. It's actually being run by the bears.
I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that everyone's indoors this year, not going out.
So no one can see any bears.
Yeah. I haven't seen any bears.
The bears are having
no bears in my living room, so the system works.
This Game Boy, using free data.
Yeah, I'm busy playing free games from the Japanese government.
I think the fact that as well that it was like rolled out so fast sort of implies that they already had the robot monster wolves, or at least the plans for them. And they finally found like a problem that they could
they were ready for.
There's a guy on the board that's like, we can finally get rid of these horrible monsters. Quick, scare the bears. It's been burning a hole in my pocket for 30 years.
Imagine if the COVID vaccine was released and it was just robot monster wolves.
Yeah, they don't know.
We haven't seen it.
They just had monster wolves roaming the countryside. If anyone's out, they inject them with the vaccine. And they
just enforce social distancing.
Light their eyes.
Yeah.
To hunt down anti-vaxxers.
This is what anti-vaxxers are so scared of.
Yeah, that's right. This is the future that they've been fearing. All right, last robot question. What's Walmart doing with 500 robots?
Not letting them unionize.
I mean, it's got to be replacing humans as is their want.
Scaring away bears. they're getting rid of them.
They tried to unionize.
They tried to unionize. They tried to get them. So basically,
oh, no, you don't, says Mr. Walmart. You're out of here, robots.
They had 500 shelf-scanning robots that they'd put in place, presumably to intimidate their fragile human workforce because, you know, robots never get sick and ceaselessly working. So you're like, you better appreciate your job. But then...
they were taking too many smoke breaks.
That's
all
right.
These robots out the back. He's coming.
But I'm assuming, like, because they're touting this as a win, but that's what PR does. But I'm assuming because now there's abundance of desperate people willing to work a shit job for barely any pay and no breaks, that they're like, we don't need these robots anymore. Send them out.
It's cheaper to hire people.
Yeah, it's just cheaper to get sad people in. And
let's just throw these angry, bitter robots out on the street. I'm sure right. nothing bad will happen.
Well, imagine how bad you're going to feel.
They just wander towards the nearest pub.
Well, come on, guys, let's find some bears.
They go join the unemployment line, and then the people in the unemployment line, these guys are going to get hired before me. This sucks. This is the worst year.
So when you say fired, do you mean, like, what, they just destroyed them?
Well, they didn't actually mention what they did with them. So probably. They're just like, we're discontinuing our contract with this, like the company that provides them. And going back to people. They prefer
this to... This is what the robot apocalypse is going to use when we're all on trial in 30 years' time. They'll be like, look, these shelf robots didn't have a shelf life. And they'll do a clever little pun because they'll have learned to pun by this stage. And then they'll be like, we should kill all humans because look at this. And they'll show a video of the shelf robots being like squashed in a trash compactor. Absolutely. And their little eyes like bursting out.
Yeah, no, I can see that happening, 100%.
Terminating a contract kind of suggests that it was like they've provided the robots and then they would keep providing them as was necessary. What they've done is they've bought a bunch of robots.
Yeah.
And gone, terminating their contract. Be like, you just bought something. Well, like I could say like, yeah. Terminating my contract with this grocery shopping.
Terminating contract.
I've already got it.
It's the only way they know how to describe of getting rid of something is terminating their contract. Because that's it. They've, yeah. They've got to deal with people all the time. So they're like, oh, yeah, we terminated their contract.
I wish the reduced aisle at the supermarket said, like, contracts terminating soon. It's just like, cheese, it's about to go off.
Yeah, it's terminating its contract with being fresh. Quick, grab it now.
Little unemployment line for like terminate as well. Apples.
That's funny. Well, yeah, I wasn't gonna do this for an Australian piece of news, but given the road we've gone down, it'll make sense to you in a moment. It's not about robots, but it does have something to do with Japan. So, like, I think Beck can confirm Australia can be a bit of a conservative place from time to time. Like, we've got this great international reputation for fun-loving, beer-drinking, sex and all that. But I think that's because, you know, we're on vacation. So the only Australians people meet are Australians who are on vacation. So they're like, yeah, there's a fun people. But back home, you know, we've got our conservative pants on a bit. So Australian authorities are cracking down on the importation of what from Japan?
Robot bear hentai.
Monster wolf.
I mean, based on Australia's immigration policies, I would say Japanese people. But they put a spin on it. We're just cutting down.
We're terminating our contract with Japanese people.
Yeah. What's a big import that you get from Japan?
It's going to seem very obvious once I say it.
Is it like Kit Kats or something? Like, is it a food item?
No.
The green tea Kit Kats. They're amazing.
Yeah, I know. That's like exactly. I was like, what's specific to Japan? Matcha Kit Kat.
My partner's allergic to green tea.
Yeah.
And so she went to Japan. She didn't realize she was allergic until she had a green tea Kit Kat and her face blew up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Shit. Yeah. She sent me photos because I wasn't there. Sent me photos and I was like, oh, that's a problem. You need to.
Don't ever reply to a photo of your partner with "that's a problem."
Well, she knew. She was reluctant to send them, probably for that reason. No, it's hentai. It's hentai.
Really?
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah, one of the like Center Alliance, who is this collection of. They used to be part of a centrist party, but they've sort of gone independent, but they're still like centrist in their own ideals. So one of them brought this idea to the Senate, saying that we should crack down on the importation of hentai, and it got through. So there's like this adult retailer from Japan called J-List, which specializes in sex toys, anime, cosplay, figurines, and manga. They posted a statement on their website claiming that Australia's border force and customs had started blocking all their adult products from entering the country, and that people need to be wary when they're buying them. Like, they were going to still send them, but they might not buy it. Because that's apparently border force have nothing better to do than try and steal people's anti.
I want to see that episode of Border Security.
Yeah, right. That'd be amazing.
Where they're like, you got any like dried food items or like any medications or anything? Like, no, it's fine. And then like the little old grandma is like packing hentai, like just magazines. And she's like, oh, what? I didn't understand the form. I didn't. Like, they're like showing her the form. They're like, you should have
picked it. It says right here, no hentai. I thought it was manga, not hentai. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, what's the definition?
Oh, I thought it was My Neighbor Totoro. I can't explain.
My very good neighbor Totoro. So on the list of banned items, just lost John Gracie.
It was banned because of conservatives. That's, did I mean it?
Yeah, they're sort of like centrists, so they toe this really weird line between what they're for and what they're against. Like, most recently, they voted to support a rise in costs for like arts degrees and stuff like that as a means of getting people to go into more STEM degrees.
Well, yeah, because if people can do art, then they're going to draw hentai. So, like, you got to...
It's a slippery slope. You got to cut that shit off at the source.
That's like the idea that somehow there's some people who are there going like, oh, I'd really... Like, the only thing stopping them from, like, being a doctor or a rocket scientist or something is the fact that the course is the same cost as an arts course.
maybe they're taking the Hitler approach where they're like, well, all these arts, like, he wanted to be an artist. If we stop people from wanting to be artists, they can't fail at being artists.
I thought you were going to say, if we can stop people from getting into art school the same way that Hitler did it, we can raise more far-right fascists.
Yeah, we need more Hitlers in the world, quick. But that's backwards, typical right-wing thinking. You need to make frustrated artists.
That's right.
Then they'll become Hitlers. You can't just stop them being artists in the first place. Think, guys. Think long-term, you idiots.
Well, good thing I'm recording this. I'll send
just a bunch of fascists walking around to children, grabbing the crayons out of their hands, chucking them across the room. That's why they do that hand thing. It's them throwing all of the arts materials.
Wee! No crayons for you, Franz.
That's funny. So the list of items that they're going to try and ban from coming into the country. So is anything marked with an 18 plus symbol, pornographic hentai, Japanese porn videos, sexually suggestive figurines of anime characters, and a thing called an owner hole. You want to take a stab at what an owner hole is?
Oh, I really don't, actually.
Oh, an A-hole? Because I don't want to go that way.
No. I don't want to answer this question. There are no winners here.
Because you don't want to be right.
It's actually pronounced honor hole.
It might.
And it's actually a really big award. You know, in America, where they're like, Japanese, oh, my kids are on the honor roll.
I'm on the honor hole.
It's like the honor hole.
Honor hole.
Look, it was a long walk, but it was worth it when we got there. The view was wonderful.
Okay. I reckon it's like a flashlight that
lonely,
horny people fuck. Nailed
it in one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
God, I'm so upset that I'm right.
You look so ashamed with that answer.
Yeah.
These are bitter points.
What is that? Explain. No, please don't eat.
Well, the most clinical answer is it's a artificial vagina designed for masturbation. That's sort of like the most clinical way of describing it. And so like...
For some reason, my head was like, is it masturbation if you're doing it to... But then I realized it's for the other person, not... You're not masturbating the artificial vagina.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get the,
working at all.
I'm not trying to get the vagina.
Hey, in a few years' time, the way AI is going, well, maybe it'll get horny when you do it.
Especially if we don't use it ethically. If the Pope fails in his mission, then we are back down this terrible road.
Loads of horny robots.
That's right.
Loads of horny robots who got fired from their jobs and they'll be really angry and sexually frustrated. That's how it happens.
Art school either, so they've got no recourse.
They can't go to art school. Oh no!
Yeah, they have to go into this life of crime and
loads of horny, tell you what, though, that angry, scare away the bears. It's true.
Just a bunch of robot wolf Hitlers.
Is that like the Hitler Youth, but for wolves?
Yeah. And thus, our two problems solve themselves, and the world is safe.
I used to work in a Club X, right? And so a Club X, I don't know if they have an equivalent. It's basically, we sell dildos and DVDs and all that sort of stuff. I worked there for a little bit. And Australia is a really complicated place for the law in terms of selling of hardcore porn material. So on my first day, it was explained to me, it is technically illegal to sell, but they don't technically sell it. They rent it. So anyone can come in and rent it for an extended period. And if they so choose to end their rental, to terminate their contract with their rental, they
terminate
can
their contract.
Yeah, it's very good.
And exchange it for a different rental. At a lower, like a discounted rate, and then that rental goes on. So you have your never watched are your gold standard, and then you return it once and it's a silver standard. You return it more than once, it comes a bronze rental and goes into the upstairs dodgy bronze section. And that was the way they got around not being
dodgy bronze section is a great name for a band.
Yeah.
But like an orchestral one, you know, like there's like way too many members. Like everyone's been in that band.
Like a hipster orchestra.
Like a Polyphonic Spree kind of thing.
Yeah.
The dodgy bronze section. Oh, that's awful.
The boss said to me my first day, he said, it hasn't happened for a while, but we might get raided by the police. If it does happen, it's fine. Let them take everything. We'll have it restocked the next day. But just so you know, it's a possibility. That was my introduction to this world.
So it's like, it won't happen overnight.
Yeah, a long enough timeline. It will happen.
It will happen. What brand so is
did
that?
It happen while
Why
you
is
were
that
working
in
it?
My head?
I've got a... I was going to skip most of the Australian questions, but I do have one that I think you guys will enjoy, just given where we've arrived at for this, the general undertone of the theme of this podcast so far. So,
guys, I'm about to release a children's arts and craft show. Like, I'm trying so hard to stop Hitler.
Well, that's
all you're doing. Is
if anything, this is helping you, of course, because you're showing how anti-Hitler you are. And that, if anything,
I thought your vibe was going to be. I thought your vibe was going to be. I can't be heard on this smutty show. But you were like, I'm trying to stop Hitler's. That's much better.
Oh no! And I shouldn't. And this show will be my undoing before we even.
I like that the podcast that we've done together. Both times you've been like, "Will this be my undoing?"
Matt, the last time I saw you I don't think it was the last time, but we ended up meeting up in the Museum of Sex in New York.
That's right.
because I didn't know New York very well, so we were like, Well, where should we meet up? That's like a really obvious place that we haven't been to yet. Well, like across the board, everyone was like, sex museum.
Yeah.
Which was pretty funny. There was loads of stuff about duck willies. It was great. Amazing, I had a brilliant time.
Yeah. Between
about duck willies.
Yeah. They're corkscrew shaped.
All right. I thought you meant like an American porn baron. It's me, duck willies.
Well, not only that, but like they.
It's not a cigar.
They have to grow them every mating season. And so there's this constant battle between the male and the female. So they're really long and they sort of corkscrew. And that's to counteract the fact that the vagina of the female duck, which is the term I can't remember, because Drake is the male duck. I can't remember the female duck term.
Isn't it mallard?
Mallard, is it? That's another boy duck, isn't it?
I was tempted to say mallard, so maybe it is.
I think it's mallard.
All right, we'll run with that until John looks it up and tells us
lady
that
duck.
The term mallard's been around since 1911. And, you know.
Vagina duck.
The mallard.
I don't know how they identify.
I just really enjoy this sentence. The mallard is a dabbling duck that breeds throughout the temperate and subtropical Americas, Euro-Siberia, North Africa. I like being a dabbling duck. I might be a little bit of a duck today.
I want a dabbling duck to be in DuckTales. Like, I feel like one of them's got to appear at some point, right? No,
its scientific name is Anus platyrhynchos. Well, that's funny, isn't it? It's got anus in it. Its clutch size is female.
Show you guys.
Okay, I'm gonna look up what is it.
Battle between male and female ducks too. So like the vagina of the duck will sort of corkscrew, so the penis will have to compensate for the corkscrew, and then over time it'll counter corkscrew in the other direction, so they'll have to develop a new penis that goes in the other direction. And it's like a constant battle, because you know, the one thing we learned from the sex museum was that ducks are awful.
Also, I think that'd get really confusing for ducks, because like I always remember like righty tighty lefty loosey, and I if the threading changes, that's really confusing.
Yeah.
Oh god, so you're saying ducks grow a new penis each time they want to mate, each mating season?
Yeah.
Fuck me, that sounds exhausting.
Yeah, birds have cloacas, so they don't have.
That's true.
Yeah, they don't have like.
Isn't that sewer? Was this
a duck museum or a sex museum?
Every level of the sex museum was themed to a different
duck.
The one level was
animal. Well, what happened? It was an autocorrect problem, Chris. So originally it was called.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the beginning they're like,
just like not let's just tell everyone it was the sex museum.
They just ran with it. They made the sign and they were like, duck? No, that was, we'll just go with it.
That's funny.
Do we want to guess the name of a female duck, everyone? Just to round
Lucy.
Off. Lucy, good guess. I can tell you that Beck will not be getting any points for
an
accuracy.
Individual duck, or because I am correct. But.
I'm sure there's one named Lucy.
For the scientific name for a female duck. I promise you know this one. I didn't realise that this was the one they used, but it is a term they used. What was that?
Lucius.
Lucius, okay. Both solid guesses. Chris, do you want to bring it home?
I don't know. I was just going to say gander, because it's close enough.
No, that's the male geese.
Yeah.
How is that male? Gander. Oh, male geese, yeah. I know nothing about farm animals.
And like. Hens like roosters, geese like ganders, that's everybody right. else like ganders. That's how I remember it. That's...
Well, I'm going to give you the points, Beck.
Do they call it a hen?
The answer is hen, yeah.
Oh, there you go. Mm. Hey.
The Simpsons teaches us more every single day.
This is true. All right.
So when they say hens like roosters, are they saying that, like, female ducks also like
they
roosters?
Love
like, everyone loves a rooster.
Roosters. It's that. Yeah.
There's when I did a kid's show with a comic called Tom Goodliffe, and his wife's French. She would come out with really, really cute, like her English is phenomenal, but she would every now and then occasionally forget an English word.
Yeah.
And she couldn't remember the word for rooster. And she was going, you know, the husband of the chicken.
Oh, that's so cute.
That is adorable. It's almost perfect for a kids show too, because, you know, you couldn't have scripted it better for her to just be like the husband of the chicken.
If they're not married, though, it's not the same.
No.
That's right.
The duck and the hen are living in sin.
Pray for them. Pray for them. So in Perth, there was an ad seen on the back of a bus. So it's encouraging people to spend their job seeker, which is the, at the moment, it's the payment we're receiving. It's basically our unemployment payment. But it's got a boost because of coronavirus. And so because of this extra boost in our unemployment payment, on the back of this bus is an ad encouraging people to spend their job seeker extra income on what?
Ooh. And this is in Perth, did you say?
Yeah. Which I feel and unfairly gives you an idea of what it might be.
Yeah, I think that's relevant. But what did you say, Chris?
Yeah, I'm gonna take
a wait, sorry, Chris. You said something before, Chris, and I missed it.
I just said I assume it's not hentai, do it.
It would be.
It did say that.
Questions.
Unless the advert was made by Border Patrol, who wanted
to. Border Patrol have these ads that they put in other countries that says, you will not make Australia home. They're these really like threatening ads about, you know, not being able to come here. So I feel like they're going to have to make a ban, just being like, you will not send hentai to Australia.
They should do, if I worked in border control, I would definitely, like, every time I had to, like, buy people presents, I would definitely be like, oh, yeah, no, this is banned right now. Oh, what, this PS5? Yeah, no, that's banned. Oh, can't bring that in.
Totally banned.
And then unbanned. Just, like, check your notes.
Yeah.
A new washing machine. Yeah, no, that's banned. That's
blue banned. They're banned. Yeah.
So what are the Perth government suggesting people spend their jobs?
It's not Perth government. It's a local business. It's a local business on the back of the
local business
promoting.
You know, I don't know enough about Australian city stereotypes to know what Perth would want.
That's why I tried to avoid the Australia questions, but I think you'll enjoy this one.
I know about Perth is there's loads of mining money, so they're hella rich.
Yeah,
and not a huge population.
Is it geodes?
Geodes. Don't dig up your own.
Them to buy those like
what are geodes?
You know the rocks that have the pretty crystals inside.
The Pokemon them? That's a rock.
They like yeah. You get them yeah, from like good. Museum gift shops and stuff.
Oh, okay.
No, it's actually.
Oh no, I've gone. I've disappeared.
I reckon it's burritos, Matt.
Burritos. It's a fair guess.
It's not funny, but I would spend my money on burritos if I had it.
You're actually attempting to win, which I respect.
What, John or me? With geodes. Is it
yeah, totally.
I would be so happy.
It's actually a boob job. They're encouraging people to spend their unemployment payments on a boob job.
I would love it if heaps of dudes came out of lockdown.
Starting a new
and
career.
They're like, what? I was isolated. I had no hentai. This was the
it was on a bus.
So when asked about the advertisement, what did the company say in response to it?
Fuck it, it's 2020. Who gives a shit? Do what you want.
That's every press release this year. Like, it's 2020.
We're all tumbling into the abyss. If you're a guy and you want to get a boob job, go for your life.
I would actually love to see some official company copy that said, we're all tumbling into the abyss.
Oh, well.
No, they said the advertisement was facetious and memorable and intended to put a smile on people's faces.
Oh. And
presumably a bump.
The ad was. The ad was meant to put a smile on people's faces.
Yeah, yeah, apparently. Right.
I thought you meant the procedure. I was like, that is...
That's not how boob jobs work.
Hey, people should get boob jobs. It's memorable, facetious. It'll put a smile on other people's faces. I thought you were going to say that the company was suggesting that it would more likely get them work. Like,
well,
I mean, helping them with employment.
Yeah, I feel like there's a sort of nested image in, or you know, nested message in there of like, increase your chances. You know, there's some sort of increase pun in there going on, something like that. They said they said that the ad is not designed as a financial guide, and we do not advocate for anyone to take financial advice from material printed at the back of a bus.
I wish they'd talked about it 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. Yeah, buses work, guys. Buses are very powerful, apparently.
Yeah.
They've really missed a trick by, like, not having it say, like, when your cuppeth runneth over.
Right, yeah, your or like.
Should run over.
Yeah.
Or get a load of this bust or something like that. Bust, bust. Oh! There's got to be. Yeah. There's got to be something in there.
Yeah, right.
Come on, guys. Well, you know, do better with your creepy boob ads.
Boobs.
Very good, Beck. Question mark?
There's no information about the company that what they do.
It's just... Well, I mean,
and what I would like is if the O's were over the back window so that you could just see people's heads,
just in like there.
Nipples.
You're like, hello,
just little areolas.
That would actually be more creative than what they.
That would put a smile on my face. And yeah, you know what? Totally I wouldn't pay for boobs, but I would spend my extra income on that ad. Like, I would.
And just on the
to make other people's faces look like boots.
You don't like want to know what I put on the front of the bus.
The penis enlargement.
But it still says boobs.
Yeah, because guys won't look otherwise. They'd be like, oh.
Why put it on a bus? You should put it on a motorbike. I mean, that's...
Oh, of course.
Makes sense, yeah.
Did we, speaking of boats, this is tenuous, but did we all see Lizzo's response to the election, to the 2020 election results?
No, I think I missed that.
And it's just her on a jet ski, laughing, going, bye, bitch, and jet skiing off into the distance. And it is so, just like hashtag Biden-Harris 2020. It's that's so funny. Good.
That's funny.
Oh, it's perfect.
Oh, I love it.
All right, I think to end us off, that's a good segue into a couple of questions that I have here, because obviously the election was a bit tense for a lot of people. It went the way I assume we all wanted it to go. I won't interrogate you on
imagine
that.
Imagine if one of us was like furious.
I'm really hoping for 4 more years of that guy.
This is a conspiracy.
Yeah, right. This is when it turned conspiracy corner.
Yeah.
But there was. So for our last question, I think this especially is particularly weirdly appropriate. I wrote these ages ago when the stories were coming out, but there was four ongoing campaigns to get people to vote. So one was run by Pornhub. They were trying to encourage people to vote. You want to take a guess at what they did for Americans? Get them to vote on the back of every bus,
and then just tiny little writing at the bottom, vote please.
They're gonna be like a joke about like boxes, filling boxes.
See, that would have been good. I've got it.
Was it come on everybody, come on vote?
No.
Come on, everybody, full stop.
Brackets, vote.
And in a separate sentence, vote.
It's actually got two ticks next to it, like a checklist.
Oh, that's really good.
I've got to tell you.
Good, coming everybody. Sick. Sick.
The two campaigns that you guys have just workshopped here are actually stronger than the campaign that they put together. So the two things that they did. On November 3rd, the website Pornhub was reserved only for users who had voted in the United States. So you had to, I mean, it was just a more elaborate, yes, I am 18. Yes, I have voted. But you had to like confirm that you'd voted before you could use it. Mm-hmm. And they called the campaign Give a Fuck, Get a Fuck.
Ah, not like, you know, you're at the, we see your polls, you see ours.
Nothing like that.
And anybody went onto Pornhub, got to that thing and was like, oh shit, and then left. And then came back.
They were like, I've got time. Someone was probably accessing Pornhub.
They're like running to the polling booth, but like doubled over because they're kind of
tripping over their pants.
I can't breach my trust with Pornhub.com. I must vote before I wank.
I'm a gold class trust member. So there was also a coalition of strippers who attempted to get people out to vote. And they had a better campaign name. Do you want to take a stab at their campaign name? So it was strippers trying to get people
out. Was one of them Stormy Daniels? That would have been great.
Not that I know of, but that would have been pretty impressive.
So what was the name of the coalition of strippers getting people to vote?
So the name of their campaign was Get Your Booty to the Polls.
Oh, nice. Yep.
That one was quite
good. Oh, polls.
Yeah. So they've actually put some thought into it and being clever with it.
Mm.
And there was a group of dominatrixes who were trying to get people to vote. What were they doing to get people? Like, what were they trying to get people to vote? How were they trying to get people to vote?
I assume there's just the line of them just chasing people down with whips, just pounding them all the way.
Yeah, I like to think it's the opposite, that they were like, no whipping until you voted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they've got like a stiletto heel on someone's ball sack and they're like, I am not stepping down any further until you vote, please.
Yeah.
No more punishment for you, mister.
Yeah, well,
until you've done your vote.
Too far off, because they're the kind of doms that were like, they're financial doms and they're submissive doms. So they were like, you need to vote for Biden. Specifically, you need to vote for Biden. Or else, you know, you won't get what you want.
Ah, and it'll be loads of old white Republicans using them. That's even better.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
He found out
Imagine if that was what Trump's campaign like required in order to prove that it had been like a conspiracy. Like it was like, I've got proof. And it's because all of my cohorts voted for them because of their relationships with their dominatrices.
It would actually be the most amazing press conference that Trump has ever given. I'd love to hear him try and explain that to an audience.
Now, all of my supporters use escorts. I'm just going to open with that.
But they're the best.
You've absorbed that information. Here's why I should be president.
Best escort.
Yeah.
And one last one. This is the last question. This is in the same field, like trying to engage voters, trying to get people to vote. This is the last campaign I saw about it. There was a campaign put together by Samuel L. Jackson to try and encourage people to vote. So if you signed up to his website to register, what was he going to do for you?
He would say the M&F word.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it wasn't called, like, Vote Motherfucker or something like that, it's just wasted.
I'm going to take a stab, John.
All right. I reckon it's him. The image is him leaning over the back of the car in Pulp Fiction with his gun pointed at your face. being like, hope we don't hit a road bump. Vote.
I think if you don't vote, he will put a snake in your house.
Snakes on the poles.
Yeah. You're saying in your plane, and then you make it very specifically to the 1% there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Snakes in your private jet.
Now, he said the first 2,500 people who's registered through his website, that he would teach them to swear in 15 languages.
That's
yeah, that's pretty amazing. And
what do you reckon the languages are?
Well, do you want to take a stab? I've got the list. Do you want to take a stab?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Icelandic.
At least won't be English.
Definitely.
Icelandic's one, yes. Icelandic.
French. Is it really?
Yeah, Icelandic's one.
French.
Japanese. No, no French.
What?
No Japanese.
He doesn't know Merg.
Well, he might, but these are the ones I think he's going with more obscure ones to sort of entice people.
Swahili.
Yes.
I was going to say Swahili.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's the go-to, it's the most common obscure language, I reckon.
Yeah, 100%.
Russian. Klingon?
Russian. No, not Klingon. No, not Russian either. No made-up languages. No, non-living languages. Although, technically, you could probably say Klingon's a living language. Mm-hmm. They've got Shakespeare translations in Klingon. Just putting that out there.
How about Lebanese?
Lebanese is not on the list, no.
Hebrew?
No.
Greek.
Ancient Greek. No.
Finnish?
I'll give you the full list. Basque? Ukrainian?
What? Wait. Sorry, what's Basque?
Basque.
Is that like...
I should have looked it up. I don't know.
Yeah, don't repeat it.
It's just like Spain, isn't it?
Sorry, Chris?
Like Spain, like up in Bilbao.
Oh, there you go.
Wales. Like Basque country. Also, yeah, you're
not
right.
Not the country Wales, I mean that.
Like actual
Wales. It's an autonomous community in northern Spain. With strong cultural traditions. Huh. And all the people who live there are called hens.
And Nepali. It's a form of Jamaican called Jamaican Patois. Icelandic.
Oh, no. Patois.
Patois, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's my heritage. Come in handy once.
Yes.
Maori.
Chris, you got to do a translation for us.
Haitian Creole, Bemba, I don't know where Bemba's from, Czech, Esperanto, so actually, yeah, one language that's a native language, sorry, Catalan, Brazilian Portuguese, Thai, and Vietnamese.
Oh, nice.
I like to think that he's fluent in all those languages as well.
I would love
to.
Absolutely.
He is, but I think
he's really
some time into researching. So I saw some of the footage. And I saw him in Vietnamese. He said, "Dit mai mai, dit mi mai." And I asked my partner to translate that for me. And I think it's a pretty easy.
I take it your partner can speak Vietnamese.
Yeah, she is Viet.
She was just like having a go.
What do you think it means? Like with you guys, yeah. I'm just asking you to take a stab. And so, according to my partner's wild stab, what do you think? No, so she translated it, and I think it's a pretty obvious guess what it translates to. So who wants to?
Could you say it one more time?
Dit mai mai.
Is it suck my dick?
Oh, that's a decent guess, but it's not. It's not suck my dick. No, Samuel L. Jackson.
I mean, is it?
Fuck up. It is. It's what I'm avoiding saying to save what's
is
left.
Is it Melon Farmer?
For the children. It's motherfucker.
Okay. I have to block my mouth so that they can't see me.
So my assumption is that he has gotten people to teach him how to say motherfucker in all of these languages. And that's what he's teaching people to do. which I think is pretty clever. But yeah, I think that...
Is it?
I mean, it's enough to get people engaged, which is what he needs.
That is true.
2,500 people, that's enough to swing a state if it's needed. And it was, as it was shown, because it was a very tight
race. Now you know who won Biden the election by who can say M&F web with yeah. 15 different languages.
Yeah, if you say dip meme to someone and they look offended, you know they were a swing voter. Yeah.
That's right. Any American, they're like, hang on.
Up there, or they speak Vietnamese.
All right. I think with our connections interrupted and everything, I think we've run for roughly the length of time that we should. So if anyone wants to do some plugs before we take off, I'd like to thank you all for your time. Really appreciate you guys hanging out with me for the last little bit. I'm going to go around the room.
I've got a CITV arts and crafts show coming out for children.
Well, this is the perfect environment to plug that. What's it called?
It's called Makeaway Takeaway. It probably won't come out till later next year, but it is. We start filming again. Managed to get some filming in just before lockdown.
Oh, nice.
And then we start filming again, hopefully early next year, all being well. That's
so exciting, Beck.
And then there'll be some. Yeah. I've got more exciting stuff coming out soon, but it doesn't get announced till January. But all aimed at ages 8 to 12. So all your sickos watching, get your kids on board.
Well, you know, kids
I have a thing for 8 to 12-year-olds. It's a new game I've developed. It's you send away for it and it comes in the post and it's like a puzzle escape room with a narrative and a story, and it's designed for kids, teaches them a bit about ancient Egypt, but it's mainly cool, fun puzzles. It's called minimysteries.club, well, the website, minimysteries.club, and we go live on Monday, whatever the next Monday is, which is the 16th of November. But we do post all over the world, so even if you are listening from Australia, the postage is a bit more expensive, but it's going to be amazing. Yeah.
If I decided to do that with my niece, but she's in a different place, is it something that we would be able to share?
Oh, I don't know. That's a great question. Let me think about that.
We'll take this off air.
I think if she could see the screen and you could show her stuff, because you wouldn't want to get two copies, because they're all like individually made and they're very beautiful. It looks so good, guys. It looks awesome. So each game is like its own thing.
Wow.
But I reckon if you can maybe do some stuff with cameras and she can see.
Cool.
That's very exciting. Thank you.
So I am 50% of a comedy podcast called Cooking with Grief. So just find us on Twitter at Cooking with Grief or find us on iTunes. Less exciting than a TV show for kids or a thing you can send around the world. But, you know.
That's also, you want to give them the...
Oh, yeah, I do have an adult thing. I do a podcast called A Problem Square.
Oh, yeah, there we go. You want to give
the adult stuff.
Yeah, the quick, summary of what your podcasts are.
So it's a comedy podcast with weird facts. So we're basically, obscure facts and sort of QI-ish, but there's just two of us, and we don't have Stephen Fry and or Sandy Toff's big. It's just... two guys called Chris, confusingly.
I think ours would complement each other quite well. I do one with a fellow Australian, Matt Parker, who's also a mathematician. It's called A Problem Squared, and it's where people send us their problems and we try and solve them. And he solves them usually very logically with maths, and I am an idiot about it. My favourite one is we worked out how many Ferrero Rocher are probably in the pyramid from the ad with the ambassador. So, we do stuff like
that. I know what the answer to that is. So.
Yeah.
That's it's a great forward sell. And I guess for myself, I've got one more of these that's in the Melbourne Fringe. And I've got my storytelling show, I Got Bit by a Monkey Once, playing. They're both on Pay What You Feel, because I know it's been a rough year for everybody. So just chuck some money up if you can. And if you can't, enjoy the show. And I'll hopefully be in Edinburgh touring it next year, if we're ever allowed to travel again. But yeah, thanks a lot, guys. And
Can I plug one more thing that I forgot about? I made a podcast a couple of years ago called The Vomitorium, and it's comedians telling their best vomit stories. And season two is actually going to launch very soon. So if you want to catch up on that before it goes live.
John, I have so many vomit stories.
Oh, great. Let's record, baby.
Well, I'd love that. Beck and I used to work together in an arcade. Mm-hmm. And I just quit a 9-year stretch at a theme park.
Were you at Luna Park?
Yeah.
You're not allowed to say because of...
Oh, I've quit now, so I don't care.
You have loads of vomit stories. One of these red rooms can cover an entire day's worth of vomit at Disneyland.
But, I've listened to a couple of vomitorium stories. They're quite good. I enjoyed it.
Well, thanks. Yeah, the first series was just kind of chatting to my friends, but I'm going to try and get comedians on in future. But I've been very lazy.
I'm sorry, John. I didn't realise we're not your friends.
Every single podcast I do, Beck, you clarify that this is a contractual obligation and we are not friends.
And I'll tell you what, this contract has been terminated.
That is a perfect end to this podcast. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, guys.